You know, we are living in a time of year that is considered to be a very festive time. We get excited when we come to the holiday season. And we actually have 2 months of it because we include Thanksgiving as a part of it. And then, really, I guess it's three because we go all the way through New Year's, don't we? But it's a wonderful time of the year. And for some reason, we seem to bond ourselves closer together because of the events of this time of the year. We enjoy our times with our friends and with our family. And it's a time for showing love and appreciation for one another. It's a time for expressing goodwill to each other and to have compassion toward one another. It is also a time for sharing gifts with one another, which is a common practice during the holiday season. But you know, these attributes of goodwill, of love, and compassion, they are attributes that should not be limited to just one time of the year. It is something that should be happening in our lives every day, because there are always things for us to appreciate. There are always people for us to love and to care for in our lives. So this festive season that we are going through right now should literally be for us the entire year and not limited to just a couple of months. Most people develop this attitude during the holiday season. Unfortunately, we don't keep it all year long. But it is a festive time, and we enjoy the festivities of the holidays. But then we have people like this. Mr. Scrooge. We all know Mr. Scrooge, don't we? Last night, our family went to watch a play about Mr. Scrooge. He is really an unreasonable old man, isn't he? And he despises everything basically that is good and that is pleasing in life. Of course, this is a timeless character from the Charles Dickens book, The Christmas Carol. Scrooge is a disraught old man. He hates Christmas and he hates everything about Christmas. In fact, we find as we read the book or watch the play or see the movie that he practices right the absolute opposite in life. As we learn more about this man, we find that there is no charity in him. We find there is no goodwill, there is no compassion, there is no kindness toward his fellow man. He is interested in one thing, himself. And he lives right the opposite of the passage of Scripture that tells us it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do y'all believe that? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I have to tell you, folks, when I was a small child, I didn't buy that for a minute. The only thing that was important to me was what was under that tree in the living room. And most of them had my name on it. Since being an only child, I get it all, right? So most of the things were mine. And you know the saddest thing about that whole event? When I opened up that last gift, when I unwrapped that last box, I was sad because it's all over. And it's going to be another year before I can do this again. I was a taker. I loved to get things. I wasn't a giver. When my children got old enough to understand this concept of receiving gifts, the greatest thing on my mind and on my wife's mind was to give them gifts. We loved to watch them do what we did when we ran up under that tree to grab what was going to be ours. See, she was an only child too. That's why she's always trouble. So being only children, we understand that receiving part, don't we? But when we had our own children, we learned more about the giving part. And you know, Acts 20, verse 35 is right. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, look at this ugly old man on the screen, Mr. Scrooge, and how he lived and how he believed. And I want to tell you, he was right. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now you may be thinking, Farron, you're off your rocker now. I love to get my gifts at Christmas time. Well, I do too still. There's some under the tree for me right now. And I can't wait to dig into them. But this passage is right. Scrooge is right. There are actually things that we receive that are better than it is to give. Now, you know, we may look at the Christmas season and we may think that it's all about giving. But, you know, there are certain gifts that we're not capable of giving. There are certain gifts in life that only God is capable of giving. And we need to be very happy to receive these gifts. And we as recipients of the gifts that come from God should help us to understand that yes, sometimes it is better to receive than to give. What I want to do this morning is just take a look at a few of these things that God gives to us that makes Ebenezer Scrooge right, that it is more blessed to receive. Number one, God's grace. My friends, we are here today because of the grace of God. We sit in this auditorium as children of God, born again Christians, because of the grace of God. Had it not been for the grace of God, you and I would still be lost in sin today. We would not have the privilege of having our sins removed. We would not have the privilege of having a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with His Son and with the Holy Spirit. We are saved by grace. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works so that no one may boast. It is something that has been given to us by someone who can give this to us. It isn't something that we've worked for. It is definitely not anything that we have earned, because who can earn salvation? No one. And it is definitely something that we do not deserve, because we are all sinful creatures. And God can have no part of sin. So He offered us His grace so that we can put sin aside and have a relationship with Him. You know, Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In other words, everyone who has walked the globe from Adam on down to whoever the last person born on this earth is has been offered the grace of God. And it is ours to receive. He's going to give it to us. And it's free. But then he goes on to tell us something else. He tells us that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who saved us on the cross. You see, that's how it was done. The grace of God came through His Son. And we have it because of what His Son did for us. So when you walk out of this building today, you need to understand you are walking out of here as a Christian because of the grace of God. It is His gift to you. The next thing is the spiritual blessings that we receive in life. You know, Paul tells us that all blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Everyone has come from Him. And then we have this message from the book of Malachi. I told y'all this morning in the Bible class that I love to study the book of Malachi. As little as it is powerful. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. "Try me now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it." Now, if we go back to prior verses, we're going to find the Lord speaking to the people through Malachi and telling them about their leaving God and how they have taken God out of their lives. And they're thinking that they can go into the world and they can get all of these wonderful things and that the world will sustain them and take care of them. And then He said, "Look, you try me in this. I can do a lot of things the world can't. You try me in this and you see if I don't give you so much, you don't have room for it." I dare say that God has given every one of us in this room so much, we don't have room for it. God pours out blessings upon us that we could never imitate. We could never give to one another because they're from God. And these blessings are more blessed to receive because God gives them. Another thing that is given to us by God is peace. Now, I do hope that everyone in this room today is living a life of peace. Peace, contentment, love, easygoing, no problems, no stress, no difficulties. Anybody in here like that? Can't raise my hand to that. We all have problems, don't we? We all have difficulties in life, don't we? Things go wrong with all of us, don't they? But yet God has said, "I can give you something that will overpower everything that goes wrong in life. I can give you peace." You see, peace is something that is so powerful that a lot of us really don't understand. I want to suggest to you, my friends, that there are three kinds of peace that we can have in life. First of all, we can have peace with God. Now, this is pretty important, isn't it? To have peace with God. Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." God has given us the ability to be at peace with Him. Now, we can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we can find where man lost his peace with God. Because mankind decided in Genesis chapter 3 that they wanted something other than God to live for. And so they ate the forbidden fruit. Sin entered into the world. And from that moment on, Satan has seen to it that we have something to choose from now. We can have that peace with God, or we can have what He offers us. Unfortunately, man has always made wrong choices. And sometimes we choose that which the world gives instead of God's peace. But we can have peace with God. He offers us that. Not only that, we could have peace with others. Do you have peace with everybody in life? Probably not. Do you at least live in peace with everyone that is in your family? Probably not. God has said we can have peace with other people, but it's only through Him. James 3 verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Peace is one of the things that if we put it within ourselves, not only can we keep it ourselves, but we can hand it out to other people as well. And we can have peace with other people. And then, believe it or not, we can have peace with ourselves. Do you live in peace with yourself? Well, you might say, well, you know, I don't go around hitting myself all the time. I don't go around hurting myself. I live with peace in peace with myself. Do you? Do you ever struggle between something that you know you should do and you don't do it? Do you ever struggle with someone who you are disagreeing with when you should be agreeing with? We've all been there, haven't we? That is an inward struggle, my friends. You're fighting yourself here. I'll always like to make reference in the cartoons. You know, when on the cartoons, the little devil shows up on one side of your head and the little angel shows up on the other side, and they're tug of war and your head's going back and forth, choosing that which is right or choosing that which is wrong. That's taking away your inward peace, folks. Jesus came to give us peace. Paul said Ephesians in Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which by the way surpasses all understanding, you know what that means? You really can't understand what he's saying here. God gives you something that you just need to accept because you'll never figure it out. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And if you have that understanding, you can have peace with yourself. You know, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He said, I can give you this peace that you don't understand. I can give you an everlasting peace that will go on and on and on if you will let it. He came to give that to us. James 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So can you have peace, my friends? Yes, you can. But only through God. Then God's given us something else. God has given us power. I want to suggest this morning four kinds of power that God gives to us, some of which you may not even be aware that you have. First of all, He gives us the power of faith. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, everybody in this room has faith in God to some extent, or else you would not be here today. And it is a gift from God. Love these words from the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. He's giving us what? He's giving us power. Through His love, through His mercy, He has given us an inheritance that is going to last forever. It is never going to fade away. It is never going to leave us. It is ours. We have power of faith. We also have power of prayer. James said, James 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It is one of the most powerful tools that God has given to us, prayer. There are people in this room sitting here today that are here because somebody prayed for them. We have people who have gone through illnesses that they should have died that are here because someone prayed for them. Prayer is a powerful thing. It is a gift of God. Not only that, we also have the power of hope. Do you have hope in your life today? Now don't say, well, I hope I do. Do you have it? What is your hope in? Is your hope in the Heavenly Father who sent His Son to this earth? Is your hope in the Son who came and gave His life for you? Is your hope in the Holy Spirit which gave you the Word that you read every day of your lives? Do you have the hope of the futuristic possibility of living with God someday on high? We have the power of hope. Paul said, Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And I do hope, my friends, that you allow your hope to become matter of fact. Do you hope that you will be saved? Or do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will be saved? Because God has the power to do that. The power of hope. And then the last one, power of love. You know, without love, there can't be hope. Without love, there can't be peace. Without love, there can't be faith. You've got to have love to have anything. And you've got to have love for God, for that grace, that love, that hope, that faith to exist. Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power and of love, and of a sound mind. And with these things, God said there's nothing that we can't do because God is with us. So maybe you didn't know that you sit here today a powerful person, but you do. You sit here today filled with power from God above. Then finally, God gives us the gift of pardon. I always think it's funny at Thanksgiving time, the president will pardon a turkey. Y'all ever watch that on TV? This has gone back, I think, at least as far back as Truman. I don't know which one started it. But I think it's kind of funny how different presidents will do this in different ways. Trump, he wouldn't touch the turkey. He stood far away and kind of done like this. You know, now, President Kennedy, on the other hand, he picked the turkey up and gave it a hug. But he pardoned the turkey. That means that turkey is not going to be sitting on someone's table for Thanksgiving feast. They have a special farm. They put these turkeys, and that turkey will be able to live out his natural life, and he will have the best, and he will be the best taken care of turkey ever. As good as the government can do it, I guess. I've always thought that was interesting, that you pardon the turkey. I want to tell you, my friends, that you and I today are sitting in this room. We have been pardoned. Every one of us in this room have committed sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul tells us that. But this grace of God, this love of God, this power of God has pardoned us. And we are free because of God. You know, I love the words of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." What does abundantly mean? Abundantly means it's just everywhere. God will pardon everywhere. He will pardon everyone if we will allow it. If we will put him into our lives. My friends, that is something that should be accepted. And we should be thankful that this is something that we receive. Because this is something that we can't give. So there you have it. Sometimes it is better to receive than to give. For you see, these things that I've talked about this morning, we can't give. We can't give it to each other. We can't give it to ourselves. They are gifts that come from God. So, I guess old Ebenezer Scrooge is right. Sometimes it is more blessed to receive than to give. This morning, if you are not a Christian, God is offering you the gift of forgiveness and the gift of salvation. And my friend, you need to receive this gift. Because no one else can give it to you. And you cannot give it to yourself. Only God. And if you are unfaithful as a Christian, my friends, you need to reconcile yourself to Him and let Him give you your salvation back. He can give you the love. He can give you the faith. He can give you the peace. He can give you all of the above. But you've got to come back to Him. And you've got to live for Him. And He will give you these wonderful gifts. So think about Scrooge. We know his character. We know his character changed at the end of the story. I want to tell you, my friends, your story is not over yet. If you need to change your story, you need to do it today before the end of your story. So maybe you can be like Scrooge in another way and come back to God and do the right thing in life. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.